What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Will Pruitt, and I'm going to take you through the weird, wonderful journey that was TNA Impact Wrestling on August 23rd, 2012. It is August 24th today, and before we kick this mother off, I want to talk to you about the .net membership side. This week has been awesome, a really great week to be a .net member. Why? Interviews, baby! Interviews! It's been a crazy week of .net audio. You've got Court Bauer, former WWE creative team member, talking SummerSlam and Monday Night Raw with Jason Powell. That one went up this week. You've got an interview that Chris Shore conducted with Ring of Honor world champion Kevin Steen. That's a great one. Leave the kiddies out of the room for it. But it's really great. Steen talks about the state of Ring of Honor. And if you know Kevin Steen, you know that homie is honest. He's not going to, you know, pull any punches. He's not going to not say what he thinks. And, you know, he was completely honest in that interview and had some really great things to say about where ROH is now, what it was, and what it will be in the future. On top of that, you had my in-person perspective of SummerSlam. You had Chris Shore and Jason Powell sitting down and talking SummerSlam for over an hour on Sunday night. You have the standard Raw audio. You're getting Impact audio. There's SmackDown audio. My God, there's going to be a Q&A. There's the Shore Slant audio. There's just so much audio. I feel like Don West right now trying to sell it. On top of all the audio content you get with that .net membership side, boom, baby. You want to talk about ad-free access to the site? We got it. You want to talk about the .net member forum? We got it. You're going to get first access to news. You're going to get first access to so many things as a .net member. Check it out. If you take that annual option, it is $5.50 per month. If you say, I just want to try it out, you know, get those interviews, maybe listen to some of your legacy interviews, including hours and hours with Court Bauer, Chris Jericho, former TNA writer Dutch Mantel, Conan, Brock Lesnar, the Sinister Minister Jim Mitchell. We're talking about, you know, Sean Daivari, Shane Hurricane Helms. We've got a ton of interviews here, some great insight on the business, and I really think editorial-wise, ProWrestling.net has the best and most diverse staff that you're going to get as far as different opinions on wrestling, different ways of looking at it. I'm different. Jake Barnett is different. Ryan Kester is different. Chris Shore is different. Jason Powell is different. And there are times when somehow all five of us are in perfect disagreement with everyone else. It's really a beautiful thing. Like I said, $5.50 a month for that annual option. If you just want to try it out, $7.50 for a month. We're positive we can earn your business and keep you coming back. ProWrestling.net. If you're convinced, if you're like, hell, Will, I want to get on that mother. Well, head on over to ProWrestling.net. Click on the membership link on the upper right-hand side of the page. Boom. Get that info. Sign up for membership. And pretty much instant access to everything on the site. Now that I've shilled my shiller off, yes, I do have a shiller. Yes, it hurt to get it attached. Let's talk quickly about Impact Wrestling this week. I didn't like it. You know, there were a lot of things on the show I felt like not to like, and a lot of things that people could like. The main thing I didn't like was the progression of the Aces and Eights angle on this show. We knew it had to come to a head at some point. We knew that something had to happen with it that was more than just random attacks, and we got there, but the place that we got to was not a positive place to me, and I'll get into discussing why. The show opened with like an Aces and Eights weird music video. It was, you know, them riding into the Impact Zone, but like, I don't know. I expected like Mickey James's theme music to start playing underneath it. Just like, hardcore bikers, burn them, burn them, and for them to come riding into that. It didn't look like this is footage we caught of them riding in. It looked like, we made an Aces and Eights music video. Then we got our previously on Impact talking about the Aces and Eights, and Mike Tenay and Taz. Talking on the stage about it being open fight night, the challenge to Aces and Eights that they promised to answer, and then we heard Sting's music play. Sting came out, said, the gate's wide open, Aces and Eights, come on. Sting had a babyface and heel army with him, with Jeff Hardy, D-Von, Austin Aries, Bully Ray, Mr. Anderson, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, Gunner, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, Robbie E., and Robbie T. Some of them got in the ring, some remained on the floor. And this was one of my first issues right off the bat. Sting should have cut a promo, then Austin Aries should have cut a promo. Why? Because Austin Aries is your world champion. And on this show, the closing attack that the last thing Aces and Eights did, kind of the impact move of the night from Aces and Eights, was an attack on Austin Aries, the world champion. So why not establish him as, hey, this dude is a world champion right off the bat? Well, why not establish him as at least the second in command of the babyface army that is going up against Aces and Eights right now? Maybe they have their reasons. Maybe they're trying to downplay Aries a bit, but it really felt strange. Sting basically said, we're going to pay some tribute to the victims, and they showed everyone that's been beat down by him, and said some questions were answered last week, and then Sting basically, like, high-fived people chanting, we want Hogan, and said, Hogan's going to be here. So then two tiny little Aces and Eights homies walked up the back aisle that Terry used to ride a motorcycle up for some unexplicable reason, and came to the ring and got beat up by the TNA wrestlers. Sting, like, pulled the mask off of the skinnier guy and was like, Who are you? Is that all you brought? And the man was like, thank you, Sting. I got patched in. I don't know what that means. Like, patched in, I think about, like, three-way calling someone or something in the 1980s, and they'd have to get patched into your conference call. But I don't know what patched in means. Yes, I do not watch Eric Bischoff's biker reality show. That's not my genre. Really, bikers or reality, not what I do. But I guess it was kind of, he got beat up, so now he's part of the biker gang proper and no longer a quote-unquote prospect. I did quote fingers there for those of you not watching the video feed of this that doesn't exist. I'm animated when I do this stuff, man. I should start touting my audios. That's what I should do. Just, you know, so you guys can all see my ugly mug gesticulating wildly and cuddling a puppy while I'm recording audio. My puppy's adorable, by the way. I say it in everything I do now, but damn, that puppy's cute. So it was like, Sting called James Storm to the ring and said that the questions were answered last week. James Storm cut a short promo that Austin Aries should have cut about wanting to fight him, basically. It's strange. You know, you have two random Aces and Eights guys coming out. You have the TNA roster kind of banding together against them. And that is really what I don't like here. Is that it's now going beyond the TNA heel and babyface lines. And that, in a way, turns everyone in TNA babyface. And you don't want that, because I think the only way to end a roster-splitting feud this way is to make a faction leave. You know, that's what they never did with the NWO. They never said, well, now we're writing the NWO guys off. I think it's one of the things that worked coming out of the WWE, WCW, ECW invasion story is, man, those WCW, ECW wrestlers had to earn their contracts again or they had to leave. Because it was a roster-splitting faction war. That's just what it is. Miss Tessmacher came out and they talked about Taryn Terrell as a referee. And we had Miss Tessmacher make the challenge. We had Miss Tessmacher make the challenge to Tara, interestingly enough. And I liked this. You know, she said she wants to make a challenge to the girl that taught her everything. And that girl is apparently Tara. So, Tara came out, Taryn Terrell came out to referee the match, and I like the idea of Taryn Terrell as a Knockouts referee. It just, you know, it adds something special to Knockouts matches. You know, it adds a little more TNA. And this was a fun match between Miss Tessmacher and Tara. I should point out, like, my wife and I, you know, she watches wrestling with me on occasion. She's a saint because, like, this week she went to SummerSlam, sat through Raw, sat through Impact. I'm beginning to think my wife might love me. But she sits through wrestling with me and looked up at Ms. Tessmacher and was like, she's actually pretty. Weird. Because we constantly judge the women on wrestling shows as not good looking. But, you know, I've said I like Ms. Tessmacher for a long time. And, you know, she has the wife stamp of approval now. So I'm allowed to at least say Miss Tessmacher's pretty. I'm psyched about that. You know, there aren't many things I'm allowed to do being a married man. But yeah, this was a good match. Tessmacher versus Tara. Basically, Tara got the win by outsmarting Miss Tessmacher. And I think this is the beginning of a story between the two where Tara now will get a knockouts title shot. And you're going to see this happen. It seems like that the Earl Hebner angle, the only real result of it was Taryn Terrell now not referees knockouts matches. Like, Madison Rain wasn't really shown. Hebner was back to being just a normal referee on this show. Like, there was no lasting effect to it, which I think was the waste of a title change. The waste of Miss Tessmacher losing that championship. So, that's a bummer. But this was a good segment. Announcers talked about D'Angelo De Niro being out of the Bound for Glory series with a broken collarbone due to the Aces and Eights. And AJ Styles, Rob Van Dam, and Robbie E were all in Sting's office. And Sting said, the only fair way to do this is a triple threat between you guys. Submission is 10 points. Pin is 7 points. You've all got an equal shot at this. Logical. Very logical. Very well done. The Bound for Glory series continues to impress me with that, with the logic in it. I'm really happy that they were able to do that this year. There were some illogical Bound for Glory series moments later in the night, but the overall improvement in the Bound for Glory series is kind of astounding. So, introductions for the three-way and Van Dam, Styles and Robbie E had themselves a good old three-way bonanza. This was Styles and Rob Van Dam showing off their high-flying audience, Robbie E playing the cowardly heel, and Robbie E ended up getting the pin after Van Dam hit AJ Styles with the five-star frog splash. He rolled up Van Dam. Who, you know, Van Dam's the only guy in the world who sells hurt ribs after he delivers a top rope move. As much as I've criticized Rob Van Dam, I love that about him. And Robbie E managed to catch him off guard, roll him up for a three count right after. Robbie E gets 7 points. Van Dam and Styles are both still in the top four in the Bound for Glory series. I'm actually pulling up TNA's website right now to have those Bound for Glory series standings available to me quickly. There we go. Updated standings in the Bound for Glory series. Yep. What is this? They replaced the old thing that they had on the site with the picture of the TV leaderboard. That makes me sad. It used to say how many matches each guy had, and now it doesn't. That's a bummer. I liked that. Ugh. It's a lot of work. So, I'm not going to go and count matches, but yeah, this was a really nice touch. Just, I enjoyed the three-way match. There was some good action in it, and I enjoyed I enjoyed Robbie E getting the win. Those two guys in the top five, kind of, you know, that makes it work. It's two wrestlers in the top five, or in the top four. They didn't need to win another match, you know, and it kind of keeps it kind of crazy. Jeff Hardy was shown backstage. Jeff Hardy came out. Apparently, by the way, the Aces and Eights guy is a Florida independent wrestler. Neat, I guess. Yeah. Oh, hey, PW Torch has a nice Bound for Glory series recap here. I'm using their app at the moment. And it looks like, oh, wow, it's got some explosion stuff, too. So there might be some spoilers here for international viewers to watch explosions. So, you know, shut your ear holes. James Storm has had his 12 matches, and he is at 66 points. Samoa Joe has had 11 matches. He is at 61 points. Rob Van Dam has had 11 matches. How has James Storm had 12 matches? That doesn't make sense, PW Torch. I think you mean, you're including the Battle Royal here. Okay, well, now you're just confusing me. I'll get into it in a moment. So, Jeff Hardy called out Robbie T and said this isn't going to be a Bound for Glory series match. Short and sweet from Hardy. Hardy versus Robbie T. Hardy beat him with the Swanton in 2:35. Solid match from Robbie T. Solid match from Jeff Hardy. You know, it's a way to get Jeff Hardy on the show, make him look good, let Robbie T get some power offense in, and get him out of there in record time. Backstage, Daniels and Kazarian delivered a promo saying that, you know, questions, said all of the answers are coming tonight, but I, you know, he hasn't heard all the questions. Sting looked into the camera and taunted Aces and Eights, said he's not hiding, they should find him. Top of the second hour now. Video, talking about the AJ Styles drama, and I'm not even... Guys, if you want a full recap of this angle, watch the show. I'm not going to get super into it because it was just bad. Daniels and Kazarian, who have shined on the mic, really disappointed me with this. And I think it's more the material they had to work with than their actual performances. But basically, AJ Styles apologized to friends, fans, and family for having to suffer through this. He said, you know, he doesn't know what happened in that hotel room, but it's obvious that something did, and he's going to take responsibility for it like a man if he has to. Jeremy Borash playing the Maury Povich role then called out Claire Lynch, and Christopher Daniels' music hit. Daniels and Kazarian walked out, basically said, you know, AJ, you're the dad. I can't believe you do this to this helpless girl. Take advantage of an addict, blah, blah, blah. Then Claire Lynch's lawyer came out because apparently Claire Lynch quit. Claire Lynch's lawyer came out, read a letter from Claire saying she absolves AJ of all blame. She wasn't even pregnant. She was part of a ruse with Daniels and Kazarian that's gone too far, that involved drugging AJ and everything else. And AJ Styles proceeded to not do a series of I'm not the daddy Pele kicks. And that was pretty much, I said the only thing that could redeem this angle was AJ doing a ton of I'm not the daddy Pele kicks to everyone, just kind of a Pele kick party because AJ Styles is not the daddy. And AJ didn't do that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that this angle is a failure. Going forward storyline-wise, I wonder, okay, well, is that it? AJ and Daniels are kind of done together? I don't think it, you know, as much as we've seen a ton of those matches, I think there needs to be one more ultimate blow-off where AJ gets his revenge. That would have been a nice place for that last man standing match, actually, with AJ hitting that big move off the stage through a table. But alas, that was not to be. So, you just get, you know, you get Styles kicking Daniels in the head, not Pele style, and the heels fleeing the ring, and I think it's going to be AJ versus Daniels, hopefully at No Surrender, unless AJ is in the final four of the Bound for Glory series, where he currently sits, or, hold on, let me check the app from PW Torch right quick on the cell phone. AJ right now is currently in fifth place with Bully Ray and Rob Van Dam each tied at 55 points. So it is possible that AJ doesn't make it into the final four, at which point I say, cool, Styles versus Daniels at No Surrender, ultimate blow-off, give it that good old-fashioned last match stipulation, let's get this thing over with. Hell, make it 2 out of 3 falls or something if you really want to make it the definitive end to that feud. Footage was shown of the gut check wrestler, and this dude, I feel bad if his sob story is true, because I'm about to tear it apart. I don't care that you are hungry. You know, you're talking about how you have your kids' mouths to feed and all that, and I want to be nice, but maybe wrestling isn't the best job. And he goes on and on discussing, oh, well, you know, I've had this rough life. I have this rough existence. Things are tough for me. And I just can't get behind it. The sob story, maybe it's because everyone in Gut Check has a sob story. Maybe it's because it's become like the sob story check and not the actual gut check. But I didn't like it. I'll get into him more later. Oh, and he also went, man, if I get a chance to entertain, I'm going to leave every fan entertained, and I'm going to blow the roof off of that place with my match. Don't write checks that your ass can't cash, dude, because you didn't do that. And that's, you know, that's something I think for all wrestlers. And one of the reasons that wrestling itself should avoid the whole, I'm going to have such an entertaining match, because you're not. You're going to have an okay match, but I doubt you're going to have a, you know, thunderously entertaining affair that is just going to absolutely blow my mind. And, you know, he basically promised, you know, I'm going to have the match of the year. No, you're not. Not even for TNA. Backstage, the Aces and Eights were walking around. Sting walked up to him and was like, you know, hey, you want to fight? You want to play 52-card pickup? Used a deck of cards, and as they were distracted, Sting tossed his bat to Hulk Hogan, who was standing behind him. Hogan knocked one down with the bat and told the man if he ever looks at his daughter again, he will cut his heart out and feed it to his dog. Hogan looked angry. Sting was like, oh, calm down, Hulkster. You're back. Hollywood, you're back. And Hogan had the painted on stubble, so you know that Hollywood Hogan is back, Jack. Flack, Mac, Sack, Tack. That's what I got. Pack. Did I say pack? I'll go with pack. Quack. Rack. I already said sack. Tack. Oh, gosh. This is easy, guys. This is whack. Zack. Yak. Back. Yeah. Basically, the alphabet. Mac. Knack. Yeah. The alphabet. Lack. Why is Hulk Hogan Hollywood all of a sudden? And why is everyone so psyched about that? Sting spent the better part of a year saying, I want the real Hulk Hogan. I want the red and yellow back. And Hulk had the big moment where he transformed into that. And I know the idea is Dark Hulk Hogan is the only guy that could take care of this. He's the only guy that could, you know, that was bad enough for the Aces and Eights. And that's what they're going with. There's way too much psychitude about that. Then we saw a video package on Alex Silva. The first gut check winner, that first dude who won the gut check, is back. And something strange about the gut check. Before gut check, Alex Silva was wrestling in OVW. After gut check, after winning it, this big accomplishment and moment, Alex Silva is wrestling in OVW. I mean, obviously, gut check has changed his life and he's moved up in the world. Yeah. In the ring, Jeremy Borash introduced Chris Lewy and said, this is your gut check. And Gunner came out. Gunner. Lewy, in his wrestling tights, he looks like a little teapot. He's short and stout. I'm convinced there is a handle and spout somewhere on him as well. He just looked... He wore trunks, and he kind of had a... thick gut that hung over him. Like, he didn't look fat, but he just had kind of a gut that hung over him. He looks to be balding. Like, the dude, he looks like a dude that I'd expect Ryback to squash. Like, he doesn't look like a wrestler. Or a quality wrestler. And in the ring, he moved awkwardly. I don't know if it was just a lack of chemistry with Gunner or what it was, but his punches were awkward. The little bit of offense he got in was awkward. And the most annoying thing about him to me, the noises that he made as he was wrestling. You remember, wrestling fans, collectively remember when you were 12. And you would mess around in your living room and pretend to be a wrestler. And you would be like, you know, as you threw punches, you'd be like, oh, boom, oh, boom, oh, boom, as you threw each one. Those are the noises that Chris Lewy makes in the ring. He is wrestling going, ha-poo, 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 every time he punches. And I'm sorry. That just says you should not be a professional wrestler. Or you should not be a high-level professional wrestler. Like, this is a guy that I'd expect to see on an Evolve show losing to Alex Silver or something. Like, losing to someone who is almost nothing in any wrestling promotion except for maybe, like, a local thing. I don't want to be, like, I'm not trying to be super mean, but in the ring, the guy didn't have a whole lot of skill. He didn't have a great look. All he's got working for him is a sob story. And I'm convinced that because of his sob story, TNA is gonna, you know, rack it up with that contract. And, yeah, there's nothing to this guy. A shot aired of Mr. Anderson walking backstage. Oh, Gunner won the gut check match, by the way, with a... Oh, this is another pet peeve of mine. Mike Tenay and Taz calling the end of the match. You know, Chris Lewy's going for a move. Gonna reverse it into... Oh, sorry, that was too excited. Chris Lewy going for a move. Gonna reverse it into his move. And there's the three count. That was it. Like, not, oh my god, Gunner has him up in the Gunninator, or whatever you want to call his finisher. Let's call it the Gunninator for the moment. It's not like, you know, and this is something that WWE is doing too, especially with Sin Cara, that really gets on my nerves. If you want a guy to get over, name his finisher. You know why? Because the announcers can say it and call it with excitement. Not Sin Cara with that weird arm drag thing that looks odd. No. Not Gunner with his move. Be like, ladies and let's just sample call this one. Chris Lewy has him up. Gunner with the reversal. Gunner has him set. The Gunninator! And one, two, three. That's all. That's what you do. Like, I'm not a great, I'm not pretending to be a good commentator. I'm not Chris Shore or anything, people. And for those that don't know, Chris Shore is the commentator for an indie promotion you can see on iPay-Per-View this weekend, if you wish. Pro Wrestling Evo, I don't know the website, but I know they're on iPay-Per-View, and I believe it's Saturday night, so check that out. But, I'm not a person who has ever commentated a match, aside from sitting in front of my TV pretending to. But that's a path, that is a way that you can get a wrestler over a little more. Mr. Anderson was walking backstage. Backstage, ODB was on the phone to Eric Young, talking about, oh, I know you got your fishing show, but you need to come home to your wife. She did the whole band thing. The funniest moment of this, she was like, don't forget the fried chicken. She hung up and then was like, hey, you. Hey, what's your name? Nah, forget about that. How old are you? Like, just a really funny ODB moment. Again, wife was watching with me and she chuckled. And my wife is kind of my barometer sometimes when wrestling is either really dumb or actually funny, and she was into it. Anderson made his entrance, Mike came down, he did the whole thing, said, my last Bound for Glory series match is my open fight night challenge for tonight. Bully Ray, let's do this thing. And the announcers looked at the standings, and said, Mr. Anderson needs to win this match by 10. To get into that top four right now, this is his last chance. He needs the 10 right here to even be close to in contention. So what did Anderson do after a solid match that involved also cut-ins during the match of the Aces and Eights fighting Gunnar, Robbie T, and Kurt Angle? Some brawling happening backstage. What did Mr. Anderson do? He hit the mic check for the 3 count and got 7 points instead of 10, thus eliminating himself statistically from the Bound for Glory series, short of some random disqualifications. Not a good call. Not a good choice from Anderson there. Strong choice, wrong choice, Mr. Anderson. That's what I'm going with. You got the win, but you did not get the points you needed. Interesting move, I suppose, but it's just one of those times when the logic in the Bound for Glory series, it needs to be reinforced. Anderson should have been going for that. He should have. I would have even liked a moment after the mic check when he instinctively went for the pin, got off, and was like, no, no, to the referee, like, no, no, don't count it. And then tried to put him in a submission hold. Like, anything like that from Anderson actually would have been pretty cool. And if Bully Ray would have, caught him and won the match, or if Anderson, or if it would have gone to a time limit draw, that would have worked. But a pinfall finish was not the way to go here. At least not a willing one. It was odd. Good match, though. Bully Ray continues a streak of good matches in the Bound for Glory series, and I'm happy to see that. Announcers noted the standings after that, said, oh, Anderson's still below the cutoff line. Yeppers, you said that before the match, you're saying it afterwards. Lack of logic. Then we saw Bane from Aces and Eights saying the TNA wrestlers want to fight, but they're playing the Aces and Eights game. Said that in 3 minutes and 30 seconds, they were going to unleash hell, which I think Steve Austin around WrestleMania 21 coined as a catchphrase and sold some t-shirts with, and give out the dead man's hand. Which is good. I'm glad they're not giving out live man's hands. That'd be weird. Like, hey, this is a living dude's hand. Like, just handing people a hand? Ah! Creepy. So after the break, Sting led the TNA wrestlers to the ring, and again, Austin Aries just kind of fell in line. He was one of the guys in the ring, but this would have been another good place. Let Austin Aries cut this promo. Let him say, you said we have 3.5 minutes? Well, the world champion, the top wrestler in this company is calling you out. Aces and Eights, I want you. That's all it takes. Like, it's not much to put a highlight on him. He's Austin Aries. He does it himself. But what they did to put a highlight on him didn't work because they did nothing. Going from something to nothing is a major improvement. So he got no response. Then members from Aces and Eights kind of came from everywhere in the building. And the TNA wrestlers and the Aces and Eights started fighting. And seriously, like 20 Aces and Eights show up. They're backstage. They're at ringside. They're in the ring. Like, Aces and Eights went from being like a 5 to 7 person group to being like this 34-person conglomerate. Like, apparently Aces and Eights are their own roster, straight out of developmental, I'm assuming. Like, Aces and Eights are this huge group of dudes now. And I think that's one of the big flaws in this angle. Aces and Eights went from being 5 to 7 people that were creating havoc to pretty much a roster comparable to the Impact Wrestling roster. And unless it's going to be like the AAA invasion that we all assume, or that I at least assumed when they first attacked Sting, unless it's going to be the AAA invasion, it's just kind of weird. It's weird that there are so many of them. So, yeah, you had, I'm not going to get into all of the action here, but, you know, Hogan was backstage with James Storm and AJ Styles fighting a few dudes, and that looked to be going back and forth, and Hogan was straight up, like, choking a homie, like, I will kill you! Which, you know, Hollywood Hogan, attempted murder. I don't know if he, well, he did ram a big rig into the Rock's ambulance at one point, and, I'm trying to think in WCW if he ever actually tried to kill anyone, but Hollywood's got some history of trying to kill folks, so it makes sense. I'm cool with it. James Storm and AJ Styles were fighting alongside him backstage. Yeah, basically, like, it was this back-and-forth thing. Some of the TNA wrestlers were getting the better of him. Some of the Aces and Eights wrestlers were getting the better. Like, just as, you know, and the camera just kept cutting. Well, here's out in the parking lot. Look at this. Here's back in the arena. Here's backstage in the locker room. Parking lot, arena, locker room, parking lot, arena, arena, parking lot, locker room, locker room. It just got crazy face. And this was reminiscent of the Main Event Mafia days, if you were watching then, when it seemed like every other episode of Impact ended with, well, here's the big brawl. And that, you know, that got a little tiresome. They put on one really good, like, 25-minute brawl, I remember, though, that was just epic. But then 2 weeks later, they tried to do it again, and it was just like, well, that makes that first one a lot less cool, folks. So the guys in the rings took Aries and set up a piece of guardrail on the top rope, held Aries' arms, like two guys were holding Aries' arms through the guardrail, and they straight up steel-chaired the dude, Austin Aries, in the arm. I guess to set up an injury for him of some sort. Then Bully Ray ran out with a chair, or a chain. I think he was swinging his chain, but, you know, Jason Powell in his coverage said chair, so I'm just going to assume he was wrong instead of going back and watching it again. And outside the building, the Aces and Eights members were shown getting on their motorcycles and riding away. A longer brawl, like the long-form brawl that TNA hasn't done in a long time, but did well when they did it a lot. It was weird to see so many Aces and Eights guys show up. I thought that we were going to end up establishing characters from Aces and Eights and establishing wrestlers that were kind of the leaders and the main guys on Aces and Eights. And instead now, Aces and Eights are an army. That's just kind of crazy that they are an actual army as opposed to an actual, you know, instead of a small conglomerate of guys. I don't know that I like them as an army. I don't know that Aces and Eights was the right choice to be an army. I don't know that it's the, I don't know that they are the stable that needed that. That said, I guess it was compelling. I'm curious to see what they do with Austin Aries going forward now. You know, he's going to have an arm injury. I assume they're going to go with a broken arm here, and he's going to wear a cast for a while. Maybe this is an out to have him lose at No Surrender, but honestly, with the way this worked out, I don't even do a No Surrender, I don't even have a, you know, No Surrender World title match. I go with like a 5-on-5 elimination tag or something, Aces and Eights versus, or, you know, 5-on-5 street fight. Hell, if Lockdown was here instead of No Surrender, Lethal Lockdown that-ish and it'll be compelling, but I do something like that if I'm TNA instead of going for the, going for the standard world title match, but we'll see what happens. I think that, you know, 5-on-5, 7-on-7, whatever you want to do could be compelling between them and Aces and Eights, and you let Aces and Eights get the better of them, leading to a bigger, more chaotic blow-off at Bound for Glory, because we've seen that they like to load Bound for Glory with a lot of stipulations and with a lot of, you know, with a lot of stipulations and with a whole lot of, you know, they did Lethal Lockdown and a hardcore match and a Monsters Ball and, you know, X, Y, and Z there before, so I think they're going to end up doing something like that with this. Ultimately, an okay show, not great, not really good. I gave it a slight thumbs down. There were some good things. The stories still are logical, aside from 40 aces and eights showing up. But it just wasn't compelling. I don't think this was the best direction for them to go in this week, and because of that, I got to give it a thumbs down. I judge wrestling based on storytelling more than anything else, and in-ring quality is kind of up there too, but more storytelling than anything, and I don't feel like the stories told were the best stories that could have been told. That's, you know, that's where I come down on this episode, is that they didn't tell the greatest stories. But it should be interesting. They now have 2 weeks to No Surrender and no announced matches for that show. And, we look at builds a lot, and I'm not the guy, it's money and it's about making money guy. I don't care. You know, if you're putting out a good product that I enjoy, I'm going to give you a thumbs up. I'm not going to, other wrestling sites and other really guys on this site, they're about money and all that. And that's just not where I come down. And in case this is your first time listening to me on the All Access podcast, that's just not where I, kind of draw my line for good wrestling. I could care less how much money a company makes. As long as they're putting on a good product, I'm going to support them and I'm going to hope that others do. It's just kind of strange to see a pay-per-view build not happening. And I think the reason why is we are going to get that 5-on-5 aces and eights match. I don't see us getting the long, the world title match of any sort. Or 5-on-5, 7-on-7, whatever. And I think Elimination Tag would be a fun way to do it. And I think you have the aces and eights kind of name. These are our 7 top guys, and that's how you start establishing characters, and maybe even just pare it down to that after this week. I don't know. Ultimately, middle of the road episode that I'm slightly down on. That's how I feel about Impact this week. You had that. You had the gut check that I really disliked. You had just, the downplaying of Austin Aries until that injury, which was strange to me. A lot of just strange moments here that I was not a fan of. That's life. Can't win them all. I hope this was a small misstep for TNA and not a large stumbling block that is going to put them into the depths of storytelling despair once again. Thank you guys for listening. Again, prowrestling.net. Check out the membership side. Check out the website, first of all. And if you don't have the prowrestling.net app, get yourself that app. That's, I have ad-free access to the site, all that. I'm a .net member. But I use the app when I'm out on the go to keep track of things because, you just open it up. It's right there. All of the news from the site gets put on the app. It's a great resource as far as just keeping up with wrestling. It's a great app. If you want to check out the interviews with Kevin Steen, with, ROH World Champion sits down with our own Chris Shore and talks to him, is brutally honest with him at points, become a member. If you want to listen to Court Bauer, a former WWE creative team member, a guy that's been there in the trenches, knows it, talking about SummerSlam, talking about the Raw afterwards, talking about, Lesnar versus Triple H and all that, become a .net member. It's definitely, if you're worried about risking the price, it is worth the risk, guys. You should go for it. Get that loaded .net member audio. See what we have to offer. And as always, if you've done this and you want to provide feedback, man, hit us up in the email. Hit us up in the .net membership forum. Hit us up on the Twitter. Do it all. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you guys for listening. This is Will Pruitt for ProWrestling.net. Thank you for supporting us, for listening to the All Access podcast. Hit us up with a review on iTunes if you think about that ish too. We'll take it all. Thank you guys and have a great weekend.